enjoyed the meeting thus far. Thank God for another opportunity and privilege to meet together with the Lord's people one more time. I think of this little meeting house with so many wonderful memories of the different folks that I've known over the years that attended here. I think my first time was in 1978, so I go back quite a ways when I was a very young man and very afraid about standing before the Lord's people, very concerned about always rightly dividing the word of truth, not to mislead or misguide, misdirect the Lord's people. With a great respect and thought about the wonderful blessing of the gospel and what it really means. And what a task I felt I had before me, especially at that time with the limited, and it's not any different today, but with the limited ability and understanding that I felt that I had in those days. I thought maybe that a time would come, though I heard many of the old brethren say that time wouldn't come, that I'd feel better about it all, that some of the fear, some of the concern would be alleviated. I wouldn't have as much of that. I found that just what the brethren told me back then is true. After all these years, I feel like I know less in many ways today than I've ever known. I hope that doesn't mean I really do, but I hope it means that I see now how much more there is to know, and how much sweeter the message is than I ever thought it was, even though I knew it was sweet. I knew what it had meant to me.
Yeah.
I knew what the message of salvation by grace meant to me as a young man, because in my efforts to try to find the truth and to understand the truth, which I don't believe ever came by me anyway, I believe my hunger for it, my thirst for it, my desire to know about it, came from the Lord. That if it's ever been real, and I believe it has, it was God who first worked in me to have a hunger and a desire to know more about him. And I was among a people at that time, prior to coming to the Old Baptist, that I do believe was God's people, but they did not have an understanding of the truth to the degree that I found when I came to the Lord's church, where I believe it is the pillar and ground of the truth. I believe the Lord has deposited his truth in his church. I believe the Lord built his church. I believe it's built upon a rock. Yeah. And I believe that rock is Christ.
Amen.
And I believe he's given that church understanding and wisdom and the ability to share that truth with others of God's children here in this world. And in my efforts to know the truth and to understand the truth, I saw parts of it. I searched the scriptures, I prayed and asked God to lead me and guide me. And I heard a lot of things that I knew was right. But then mixed with that was a whole lot of things that I knew I could tell was not right. Now, I knew that also inside, rather than just the outside or the searching of the scripture. So the Lord led me in a way, really, that I didn't choose to go. But he guided me and directed me, allowed me to see that salvation was completely by the grace of Almighty God. If you see that today, you're a blessed character.
Amen.
To understand that salvation wasn't something that we do in agreement with God, or that salvation isn't something that man does for himself by keeping something that the Lord requires of him to keep, But that salvation is that which the Lord is the author of and the finisher of, and he begins that work in each and every one of his children. And the Bible teaches that. It teaches it in the beginning, in the Old Testament. It teaches it in the New Testament. It's what we've heard today, that salvation is not a work, and Brother Jim used some big words for it, monitor synergy. I don't know exactly what they were, but I knew what he was. I knew enough about them to know what he was talking about. But it isn't man and God working together to get us to heaven. It's what the Lord did for his people. And that work was done in him sending his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ, here into this world. For God so loved the world. And that world that he loved was the world of his elect family. Amen. A world that he chose. A world that he made choice of. A world that he foreknew. And that foreknowledge embraced his love. And God so foreknew us that he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. And really, that really settled it. When God, who is perfect and has all power and is able to do whatsoever he pleases and purposes to do, saw fit to predestinate, that is to prefix the destiny of his people, our salvation was secure in that very purpose and work of God. Even though it had to be carried out, there was no way it would not be carried out. There was no way that it would not be complete. There was no way that what God purposed to do would not be accomplished, and we were secure already, saved, if you will, in the eternal work of God, eternally secure in what God purposed to do. We believe that, don't we? Amen. Isn't it good to have a God that big? Amen. That he didn't just say, well, I'd like to save somebody, but I hope they will agree, I hope they will do what's necessary, I hope they will add to that what they need to add in order for what I would like to have be accomplished. God didn't leave any part of that in the hands of feeble man. Because if he had, Garians would have messed it up. And you can put your name there too. Yeah. You would have messed it up. But God so foreknew his people, he foreloved them, that he sent his only begotten son for those whom he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. I believe that everyone that he foreknew are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, which means everyone that he predestinated will be conformed to the image of his son, and there's an absolute impossibility that any of them will miss that final destination. And you would think that's so plain written in the Word of God that everybody would see it, believe it, and understand it. But there's just a few of God's little children that can see that. Amen. And understand that. If you can see that today, how blessed we are. That God so foreknew, he foreknew his people, and he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. Moreover, those whom he predestinated, he also called. He didn't use the gospel to call them. He didn't use the gospel preacher. That was a great relief for me as a man who felt called. I felt called, and even at the time I felt called, I didn't have a clue what an old Baptist was. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew I had a burden to preach what was in this book. And I thought, well, I need to know what's in this book, so what's the best thing to do? What the world had taught me to do, if you don't know what to preach, you better go to a school somewhere where they teach you how to do that. So I made my best efforts to do that. But the Lord wasn't going to allow me just to continue on that way. And the more I got there at the school, and the more I talked, and the more I studied, it happened to be a school that had old Baptists that used to be a part of it that had come out of that school And it comes separate to that school. And wonder how I happened just to be in that school rather than in any other school. Wonder how I happened to be where I named the name of an old Baptist and immediately heard the word. They're a bunch of hyper-Calvinists. They're a bunch of people that you don't want to get too close to. They've fallen off the edge. They've gone way too far. They have gone over into they just didn't have a good name for old Baptists at all. But the more they talked about them, the more I believe what they said they believe. God was opening up that door all along. The calling was not to get you alive. I mean, the calling of the gospel is not to get you alive. The calling of the gospel is to give light to those who've been effectually called by Almighty God. And who will be effectually called by Almighty God from a state of death and sin to a state of life? Everyone that he foreknew, everyone that he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, every one of them will be effectually called, and he'll call them whether the gospel ever reaches them, whether they ever hear a gospel minister, whether they ever darken the door of an old Baptist church or any church organization. He will quicken them, some of them, before they leave this world and they may die in their mother's womb. He will reach every one of them. Aren't we glad we have a God who isn't dependent upon weak, feeble men to reach and effectually call his children? He will get every one of them. If you love the Lord today, it's because he first loved you. If you believe in him today, it isn't because the preacher got to you before it was too late. Whether you were in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or wherever it might be, if you're dependent on man, you're dependent on a failure, and man won't get it done. I'm telling you, God reaches every one of his children before they breathe their last breath in this world. If it's a baby about to die and go home to glory, he will quicken them and they will be with him in heaven. And when they get to heaven, there's not going to be a little room for these over here and a mansion for these over here. And some who get them there by the skin of their teeth, and others who have all these things they sent on to glory. They'll all be there on the same righteousness, the same way, and that's through the finished work of the Savior who did not fail one of them.
Amen.
He did not, he cannot, and he will not.
Amen.
And he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who he is.
That's the truth.
And every one of them he calls effectually. And every one that he's called, and he doesn't use the gospel, there's a gospel call. Thank God there's a gospel call. Thank God the Lord didn't leave us in the dark. Thank God he reached us in the way that we would. We wouldn't really want to be together if God hadn't worked something in our lives for us already. And I said to you, it would be probably better off for us never to have known one another. Because without the Lord, the only thing I would have wanted is what I could get out of you. And the only thing you would have wanted is what you could get out of me. And I don't believe that's why we're here at all. I believe it's because we love one another. And if we love one another, it's because he first loved us and he gave us a love to love one another with. And everything good in my life that I've had from a young man to this day has come to me by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And God forbid I would ever pat myself on the back or any other man on the back and give them the glory that belongs to the Lord and him alone. You know what our doctrine does? And I say our doctrine, it's the Lord's doctrine. It's been given to us. It gives him the glory in every aspect and in every avenue. Even in the message of the gospel. You know how preachers preach? By the power of God.
Amen.
You know how people hear preaching? By the power of God. If you've heard it, it's God's power who allowed you to hear it. And if you heard it from a preacher, it's the Lord who blessed the preacher to preach it, and it's the Lord to bless you to hear it, and it's the Lord who gave them the wisdom and the understanding and the ability. And on every given occasion, no matter how long they've been doing it, no matter how many times they stood and declared these things, they need the power of God in order for it to be beneficial. Has it been beneficial to you today? It's been a good day. That means the Lord's been good to us today. You know what that means? means he loved you before the foundation of the world. He chose you before the foundation of the world. You belong to him. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar. Just doesn't mean strange. It means a purchased people. If you're purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what can separate you from Almighty God? Absolutely nothing. And you can have peace. And fear not. And when he says go forward, you don't have to say stand still. You can step out on faith and walk out into the water and watch the waters part. And I don't know what waters you have to part, but I know God's shown me a lot of waters that I didn't know what was going to happen. And he opened the door and he opened the way, and I can today let my life be without covetousness. Let me be content with what he's given me, for he has said to me and to you, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. So that you and I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me. And everyone that he called, he justified. How did he justify? Did their believing justify them eternally? Oh, there's some timely justification, a phase of that that happens when we believe and trust in the Lord. But my believing didn't get me fit for heaven. My believing doesn't give me righteousness enough to be accepted with God. My believing gives me peace about that. My believing gives me justification in my mind and in my heart. Well, in my mind, I'm saying I belong to him. But my eternal justification happened, and your eternal justification, God's children's eternal justification, happened when Jesus died on the cross, and he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. We ought to believe that. But whether we believe it or not, it's still true. Isn't that good to know? I might go to heaven scared to death, but I'll go to heaven nonetheless. But oh, how much better to sing with the songwriter, farewell, vain world, I'm going home. How sweet to die. Everyone that he foreknew, he predestinated, he called, he justified. And everyone that he justified is he says, glorify. Process already begun. Yeah. Already worked the work of grace in us. Right. Already begun a good work in you. How many will he finish if he's begun a good work in you? What does the Bible say about that? He'll finish it if you hang in there. He'll finish it. Does it say that? Does it say he'll finish it if you hold on? Does it say he'll finish it if you keep praying up and you keep you come to church enough, or you do this or do that? Does he say that? No, he said that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it, will complete it, will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm not getting that verse just right. Help me, Brother Joe.
Performance.
That's it. I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know how.
Close enough.
Well, perform it.
We got it.
Until the day Jesus Christ. Who's he going to do that for? Everyone he foreknew. Everyone he predestinated. Everyone he calls affectionate. Everyone he justified. Did Jesus know who he died for on the cross?
Amen.
He loved them. He knew what a mess they were. Let's say it this way. He knew what a mess I am. He knew what a mess you were. He knew what we would have been. He knew how far we were from him. But he justified us, washed us in his own blood, and washed us whiter than snow. He suffered. He bled. He died. He went to the grave, but he didn't stay there. No, there's no bones in the grave. He came forth glorified, and then he was ushered into heaven. Oh, what a day that was when he was ushered into heaven, and he was ushered in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he sat down on the right hand of the Father because he finished the work that the Father gave him to do. That everyone would his children ultimately will be glorified, already begun, but it won't be finished until this old body is made and fashioned like unto his glorious body. No wonder we ought not let covetousness guide our life. Look what the Lord's done for us. What more could we ask for? Can we be content with what we have? Can I be content with a bum knee? Can I be content with things that maybe are not going the way? You know, I have a hard time with that. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I can be content until it really hits you. Until you get up and you want it to work and it won't work, or you want this to happen, or you're living in your house and you look at your neighbors and you say, oh, why didn't I get their house? Or you're driving your car and it breaks down and you say, why couldn't I have that car? Or you're at this little church, you got four or five, and you wonder, why couldn't I have 40 or 50? Or why couldn't I have 400 or 500? Or why would I be satisfied? Why couldn't I have 4,000 or 5,000? Oh, why can't I be content? How good has the Lord been to us? I can be content, can't I?
Yeah.
And he's promised, you know what I can be content for? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And one day, we're going to be with him in heaven, in immortal glory. And yes, we'll see Jesus. And that's the beauty of heaven, seeing Jesus. But we're not only going to see Jesus, and we're not only going to love Jesus, we're going to love those he loved in the way he loved them, and they'll love us, and we'll love one another. And the happiest times I ever have on this earth is when I'm with my brethren like we are today, loving one another. What must it be, as the hymn writer said, to be there? And the only reason we'll ever be there is because of him and what he has done for us. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.